Well, today we continue our series, Life on Mission, what the Christian life is all about. God's people finding God's heart for the world. We talked week one about this mission that we have, and most importantly, that this mission is possible, or the Lord wouldn't have given it to us. But everybody has a mission, and your mission is simply where you focus your attention, your time and energy, and your resources. And many people put the focus of their lives on different things today, but the Lord tells for those of us who follow Him that we have a mission that's different than the rest of the world. Our mission is to be His witnesses. We're to tell about what we've seen and heard about Him. In week two, we talked about the way we do this is we find ways to connect with people. We talked about that when Jesus was here, He spent a lot of time connecting with people. But He wasn't just connecting at what we would call church, the temple or the synagogue. He wasn't merely connecting with the disciples that were following Him, but He was intentionally connecting with people right where they were. And this is why in the opening video, I show pictures of people interacting with folks that are a part of their lives every day, whether it's at work or at school, at the store, sporting events. We can connect with people in a lot of different places. The next week, we talked about the importance of serving. In Mark 10, 41 to 45, Jesus talked about whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. And He gave His life as a ransom for us all. And we talked about the fact that nothing builds relationships better than acts of service. Genuine compassion takes time. And if that's the case, maybe we need to make an intentional decision to be a little less busy so we can live our lives on mission for the Lord. So be attentive to what's going on your street, what's going on with your neighbors, what's going on with your friends, and look for ways to meet needs. After we connect with people and after we serve them, it leads to very naturally to this opportunity to share with people, to be His witnesses. We saw in Romans 10:14, how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him when they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And so during this week, we talked about learning to listen, learn to ask good questions, be ready to give an answer with gentleness and respect, and to always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we talked about the power of your simple before and after story with Jesus and how it can have a profound impact when you share with people. You're the expert when it comes to your story. Just keep it short. Simply be a witness and tell what you know. And you don't need to tell everything, just before and after. Last week we talked about God's will for us to grow. And this means spiritual maturity, growing up to be the people God wants us to be. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen automatically, it doesn't happen quickly, and it doesn't happen without self-discipline. But Peter told us in the scripture we read last week, make every effort to respond to God's promises in faith, in moral excellence, in knowledge, in self-control, in patient endurance, godliness, brotherly love for everyone. And he said, the more that you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. But he said, for those who fail to develop in this way, they're short-sighted or blind. And so this is the path that God wants us to take in connecting, serving, sharing, and growing. And today's message is going to be based out of Matthew chapter 9. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 778. So Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 35. Matthew records it like this. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers into His fields. So I want us to focus today on what Jesus told His disciples to do. He told them to pray. And He identified a specific purpose in this prayer. Did you see it? He said, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Now, this word Lord is the equivalent to the word master. When we say Jesus is Lord, he's our master. He's the one we are to obey. And it says that he's the master who is in charge of the harvest. This is his harvest. This is his responsibility. This is his success or failure. But he tells us to pray to the Lord and master of the harvest to send more workers into his fields. Why? He said, the harvest is great, but the workers are, did you catch it? Few. Now, you've heard the phrase before, many hands makes the work light, right? And so, when you have a harvest to bring in, the more help you have, the easier it is. In verse 35 in this passage, we read that Jesus was healing people of their sicknesses and their disease. But in verse 36, it tells us that Jesus saw something that they didn't know that they needed. They needed to be freed from the bondage of sin. And Jesus saw they were confused and helpless. He said, like sheep without a shepherd. They had no spiritual guidance. At the heart of Jerusalem, there was a temple, and it was intended to be a place of worship and spiritual refreshment. However, the spiritual shepherds of that day, they'd made the temple a place for rituals and regulations. They offered the flock no fresh pastures to feed, no cool water for refreshment, no place to find rest from a wicked world. And you know, if we're not careful, we can become like those shepherds. Our churches can become places of rituals and regulations rather than the mercy and grace that God wants to offer. Sometimes we're so focused on ourselves and the busyness in our lives that we become blind to those who are in spiritual need all around us. Sometimes we can suffer from tunnel vision, and we become so focused on the reward that we're going to get in heaven that we're no earthly good. Sometimes we can be so far-sighted by focusing on the needs of people in a country far away, we forget those who are right here in our own community. We need to have our vision corrected so we can see people the same way that Jesus saw them. He had compassion on them. He saw them as a great harvest. So he told his disciples to pray. Pray to the Lord and Master of the harvest that he would bring more workers. Now, I think this is pretty amazing that Jesus, and if you think about it, he's the one who walked on water, he healed the sick, made the lame to walk, made the blind to see, cleansed the lepers, and he cast out demons. But Jesus chose nothing miraculous to help those who were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He simply told his disciples to pray. To pray. The focus of the prayer he wants us to pray is that of sending more workers into the harvest field. Dr. Luke recorded in his gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, an occasion when Jesus was sending his disciples out in pairs. And look what it says. Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus kept saying this to his disciples because sometimes they, like us, need to hear it more than once. So why are the workers so few? Well, I think some of the things that were an issue back then are also an issue today. I think one of the reasons the workers are few is oftentimes because of fear. I know I'm supposed to share, but I'm kind of afraid of rejection. What if people won't listen? What if they reject me? Or what if they ask me a question I can't answer? I'm not sure what I'd do. I'm not sure what I'd say. Or what if I'm afraid of talking about politics and religion? That can be pretty difficult in this day and age, can it? And I think one reason the workers might be few is because many have fear. I think another reason is ignorance. Some people say, well, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know what to tell people. Peter told us in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer that you have for the hope within you, but with gentleness and respect. So we've talked about being prepared. Some people will say, I don't know or understand enough of the Bible. Some people will even say, that's just not my responsibility. I think a third reason the workers are few, I think some people might be a little arrogant about it. That's just not my gift. That's for somebody else to do. Or some might say, well, I've got mine. I'm headed to heaven. Hope you get yours. Have a nice day. Or some people will say, well, that's what we pay the church staff to do. But I think another reason is what we might call apathy. And it might come out in phrases like, I'm just too busy. I don't have compassion for people who are hurting and lost. Or maybe I'm just not living with purpose. I'm not living on this mission. But why did Jesus tell us to pray? I think when we sincerely ask God to send more workers into his field, something special happens. It means we place ourselves at the Lord's disposal to become the ones who can actually impact the lives of others. When we start praying for God to send workers, it softens our heart to be one of those. Now, perhaps you've heard this phrase before, pray as if everything depends on God, and then work as if everything depends on you. How many of you have heard that before? It's often attributed to a guy named Ignatius, and it means turning it all over to God in prayer and then working tirelessly and urgently to do God's work. But what if we flip that around? What if we said it this way? Pray as if everything depends on you, and work as if everything depends on God. That means that prayer has to be urgent. God has to do something dramatic if everything depends on me. It also puts our work in the right perspective. We can work hard, but you know, we need to leave the results to God. Because remember, he's the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest, it's his mission, and he's responsible for the results. But he invites us to be a part of it. And this is why one of the most important things we can do as we think about our life on mission is to have this focus on prayer. Now, some of you might be saying, well, David, if prayer's so important, why didn't we do this at the beginning of the series? You know, why didn't we talk about this first? Well, we certainly could have, but I wanted you to understand the other necessary steps of life on mission in connecting with people, serving people, sharing with people, helping people grow, but it's all undergirded by prayer. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer. It can be a simple one. A few years ago, there was a preacher down at the Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, named Dave Stone. And Dave Stone had a very simple prayer, and I want to share what he said about this. He said, I'm better off when I invite God into my day and I say something like this, Lord, will you lead me to people you want me to talk with today? Will you find someone for me to encourage? Is there someone with whom I can pray? Is there something that I can do on your behalf to help somebody else? And you know what? God honors these kind of prayers. When we invite God to be a part of our day and ask him to lead us, amazing things can happen. And look what Dave says next. I found that when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't pray, they don't happen. And that is the power of praying and asking God. In fact, in John chapter 4, verses 35 to 38, this is at the conclusion of the episode where Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay at their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." See, they wanted to spend time with Jesus, and they came to the point where they understood who he truly was. So I want to ask today, what about you? When was the last time you prayed to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into his field? When was the last time you stepped up to be one of those workers? When was the last time you connected with someone at work or at school or your neighborhood, somewhere in your circle of influence? When was the last time you served someone who needed help? When was the last time you shared about the hope that you have in Jesus with gentleness and respect? When was the last time you helped someone grow in their relationship to Jesus? These are pivotal questions, and one day, the Bible tells us the Lord's coming back, and he's going to examine our lives and how we've lived, and our hope is to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." This message about living life on mission is what the Christian life is about. It's about living our lives in such a way that we bring people into a relationship with Jesus, where they become his followers and his disciples. Starts with prayer, continues with getting connected, serving, sharing, and helping people grow. So, church family, I have a challenge for you today. And my challenge today is this: your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to pray. Pray and ask God to send workers into the field. Pray to him as the Lord and Master of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And you know what? You need to be ready to be a witness when he provides the opportunities. Remember, we're to be witnesses. We're not to be judges. We're not to be prosecuting attorneys. But we are to tell what we know, how he's changed our lives and made them so much better. Not only do I want to encourage you to pray, but I want to challenge you to make next week a priority in your spiritual growth by making worship with the church family a priority. Next week, we're going to have our next message in this series. And at the beginning of the series, you may remember, I asked three people in our church family to volunteer for what we call the Mission Possible Challenge. But we have Nina and Cheryl and Ron, and they went on a special mission, and you are going to hear about what they did next week. So I want to encourage you to come back and be a part of that. But right now, I'd like to invite you to pray, and then we're going to stand and sing our sermon response song. Lord God, we thank you so much that you love us. We thank you that you've called us not just to follow you, but to be part of this mission of making disciples. And we don't have to go to a foreign mission field to do it. There's people right here in our community that need to know Jesus. They're within our reach. But we need to live our lives focused on this mission of connecting with people, finding ways to serve them, so that we have opportunities to share about who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives, so that we can help them grow in their faith. Lord, it's a challenging mission, but it is possible. And I thank you for Nina and Cheryl and Ron, who are going to share with us next week about this special mission they've been on and the lessons that they have learned through it. So I pray you'll prepare our hearts for our time together next week as we hear about some of the amazing things you've done in the lives of three here in our church family. But Lord, as we sing today, we want to ask again that you start a fire in our hearts a fire that is so strong that it compels us to keep on keeping on in this mission. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing?
Let your light shine, let your light shine. For